call to order the municipality of District of St. Mary's Committee of the Whole Meeting Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, at 4 p.m. We acknowledge that we're gathering in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Can I have a roll call, please?
Warden Weir.
Present.
Deputy Warden Fuller.
Here.
Counselor Baker.
Congrats.
Counselor Harper.
Here.
Counselor Mailman.
Here.
Counselor Malloy.
Here.
Counselor Zink.
Here.
Thank you. Also attending tonight, we have Doug Patterson, Chief, our CAO, Mary Fraser, Director of Finance, Jetsia Graham, Interim Municipal Clerk, and Tyler McLaughlin.
Active Living Coordinator.
Activity.
Active Living Coordinator.
Active Living Coordinator. All right, perfect. Are there any additions to the agenda? Okay, go ahead, Counselor Mailman.
I guess for the sake of shortness, vulnerable persons registry.
Okay, we'll put that under other matters of business then. G. Vulnerable persons register. Okay, we'll add that as 9G. Are there any other additions to the agenda? Hearing none, could I have approval of the agenda with the addition?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Counselor Harper, second by Deputy Warden Fuller, that we approve the agenda with the addition. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved. Could I also have approval of the minutes from the Committee of the Whole Meeting held January 17th, 2024?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion by Counselor Malloy, second by Counselor Mailman, that we approve the minutes from the Committee of the Whole Meeting held January 17th, 2024. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Is there any business arising from those minutes? I guess I have a question, Doug. Do we have a timeline for our lift station repairs?
It was to happen today. The snow has delayed it, so we're looking to rebook that. We're still actually cleaning up the huge amount of snow that is blocking the sewage plant that we need access to. But that will happen within a few business days.
Okay,
thank you.
Any other business arising from these minutes? Hearing none, we'll move on to correspondence. We've received a provincial response to the municipal request for assistance to broaden cellular phone service. Everybody's had a chance to read it. And there's quite a report that goes along with it. So it's it definitely has shown the guys for all this being quite a few gaps in the system.
A lot of gaps.
So hopefully it will, we are going to meet with the provincial rep, I think, on 12th.
Yes.
Doug and I are meeting with the provincial rep, and hopefully he can decipher some of this analysis that they've given us as to how moving forward it's going to help Craigsboro, or East Valley District, St. Mary's in particular. And we also received a provincial response for assistance with the construction of demolition waste disposal. Doug, I'll let you speak on that one because you have more contact with those people.
Okay. So the Minister of the Environment and Climate Change is going to meet with us. We're just setting a date. It should be next week. We had a date set for this week, actually, but they had to cancel due to COVID on the part of the people that we're going to attend. In our letter to the province, we had asked for help and consultation, support, and that meeting is to explore our needs and see what help or advice might be available in helping us look at our C&D services and the added costs based on the new environmental rules.
All right, thank you, Doug. Anybody have any questions on either one of those two letters? Okay. So, deep presentation. I assume the person presenter is
Our presenter had difficulty last minute and has had to cancel, and they hope to reschedule with us in the future.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Number nine, other matters of business, canoe procurement services.
Sorry.
Doug, do you want to talk on that one? Please?
Yes, thank you, Warden. So, for the general information of the public, canoe procurement is a company that works to do a lot of tendering and put together packages of high quality, lowest possible price, materials, supplies, equipment, and then they try to appeal to government. They give us the ability to become a member and use their services and allow us to buy directly through companies that have signed up with them that have won tenders for quality and lowest cost through canoe procurement. It gives a municipal government like us the ability to have access to supplies, parts, equipment that has already gone through a competitive pricing process that would have mirrored our own call for tenders, call for RFPs, call for quotes. And it's a really great tool. It's actually sponsored and promoted by NSFM, Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities. They recommend municipalities use it. If we choose to use this service and have access to their vetted quotes for different parts, supplies, equipment, then we really need to sign a membership form. It does not preclude us continuing to do any of our own searches, working with local businesses, don't get excluded. It just gives us a fast, easy way to expand our ability to check for availability products and to make sure we're getting the lowest pricing. So it has two benefits for us. It gives us more ability to check that we're getting the lowest price for things, for services, for equipment, paperwork, stationery, parts, equipment. Gives us the ability to have an extra way of checking that we're getting the best prices. And it may save time. For a lot of unique things that we occasionally need, we spend a lot of time looking and researching and searching for it. Now we've got somebody that's already done that work for us, so we can just go right on their website and start searching their vendors or put keying in names of what we need and searching to see if they are a provider of it. So it's staff's recommendation that we become a member because of the opportunities that it will provide long-term savings to the municipality and to the taxpayers. And since it doesn't restrict us where we also need to look for other things they don't provide, there really is no downside to being a member with them.
They were one of our speakers at the last NSFM.
That's right.
Meeting, and really, he's really good.
They're not the one giving that shirt.
Not falling against them.
Thank you, Doug. So I guess we need a recommendation that the municipal council approve the municipality becoming a member of the Canadian Canoe Procurement Group.
I'll make that recommendation.
I'll second.
Recommended by Councilor Malloy, second by Deputy Warden Fuller, that the municipal council approve the municipality becoming a member of the Canadian Canoe Procurement Group. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. Also, I need a recommendation that municipal council requests an update from staff within 7 months that illustrates degree of savings or quality efficient differences achieved.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilor Harple, second by Councilor Mailman, that the municipal council requests an update from staff within 7 months that illustrates degree of savings or quality differences achieved. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. All right, so that takes us to 9B, Connect 2 grant options for active transportation. verbal update.
So thank you, Warden. So I can give a quick update on that. So we've been working for several months on our active transportation project with the consultant Uplands. We are going to receive their interim report on February 21st at our next committee of the whole. So that is in keeping with our original timeline for work with them. And it's also important that that public will be able to see it and council will be able to see it for budget planning opportunities. We've also mentioned Connect 2. Connect 2 is a provincial grant offered by the Ministry of Heritage and Tourism, and they offer funding for a lot of active transportation projects. So we are already investigating possibilities through them, getting some some advance advice from our consultant on potential projects. So we are hoping to be able in that meeting to not just present a present a list of interests and a draft report from the project, but to also be able to give council some options on being able to investigate some immediate funding so that we can start taking action.
Okay, thank you. That'll take us to 9C, CMHC Housing Accelerator Fund Next Steps. So I know we have heard back from the from Sean Fraser's office on that, and I'll let Doug talk about our next steps.
Okay, thanks. So we had written to Sean Fraser talking about our application, talking about our great readiness, how much work we've done with zoning and planning to be ready to support housing, and talking about our application to the CMHC Housing Accelerator Fund. And he responded to us letting us know that our grant is still outstanding. You know, we haven't been approved or declined yet, and we'll receive an answer roughly within a few months. He also urged us to stay close to the CMHC staff and, you know, and stay close to them, review possible continued options and actions and tactics. And we did have a meeting with CMHC staff, and that led us to a couple more ideas of things the municipality could do. And two things that were listed that were described as being very positively done by other municipalities with good results. One is using the CMHC funding for some tactics to create vetted plans for some simple housing, including things like secondary suites. Having that ready makes it cheaper and easier and faster for the public to take action. It tends to be a service. So assuming we do get the CMHC funding, that can be an added tactic that we can add to our list of plans of what we would do to promote and support housing. There is also a lot of interest on municipalities across the country in developing council-approved policies for dealing with developers. We have a policy for when we would sell municipal land, but there is probably a lot we could do to examine and build policy for how we would work with developers, what we would do, what kind of joint projects, engagement, we could undertake, and we could learn a lot by researching that and learning from other municipalities that have already had some good success in dealing with developers. So that could be a really valuable tool for this municipality to have as a next step. You know, we've done all of the core basic work on our land use bylaw, our zoning, to be ready to create opportunities for people to build a lot more options in housing, higher density, et cetera, secondary units. But if we use half funding this year to develop a policy for working with developers, that can really enable us to do a lot more and work with the construction industry. So those are just two recommendations for that the municipality can take and plan and work on, provided that we do get the half funding. The half funding would allow us the money and would allow us funding an FTE
to plan, research, and work on those two initiatives. So that was just a matter of the two additional recommendations and ideas that we learned through talking to CMHC staff.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions on Doug for that? Go ahead, Councilman.
What do they mean by secondary suites?
Okay, thanks. If you have a property with an existing building on it, it's now becoming more and more popular to build a small additional house on that property. And it has a lot of benefits in some of our needs for housing. Those secondary units are often used either as rental units, so it creates lower cost housing, creates more rental, which we have a shortage of, and they're often used for extended families. So it can be a help to seniors. If you have a family, they might bring, they might bring their grandparents in or other relatives. So it does a lot to create new housing units, build stronger families, and create lower cost options.
Good. Thank you, Doug. I guess with that, if you're in the outside of non, outside of Sherbrooke, we have water and sewer, and you'd also have to consider putting in additions to your septic system. Mm-hmm. It's just not as easy as putting up a tiny home in your backyard.
That's right.
Electricity and all that stuff. Like, I just can't see where that's as feasible as they would like it to be. That's just my opinion.
If I may answer.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons we've applied for the half funding, because then we can develop programs and support for the public and advice for the public.
That's why multi-units are better, because you're getting more bang for your buck. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. As a previous landlord at one time.
Not saying it's not a good idea, but
Councilman Bennett, go ahead.
I understand their suggestion, but it kind of puts the onus on providing housing on the general public, saying it's up to you to have a secondary suite or to plan for that, right? I think it's a good idea, but I can't see how it's going to help effectively overcome our housing crisis. Do it's a comment.
I guess the best answer to that is it's one tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we applied for the half funding, because it would give us funding to be able to develop different strategies and support the public with more options.
Okay, thank you. So there's no recommendations on that one. Let's move on to 9D, 2024 Cost of Living Review and Budget Plan. I'm guessing that's probably
here. Thank you, Warden. So this again is another tool for developing the budget deliberations for the 2024-25 budget. This is your cost of living consideration. So each year, council begins with a baseline of the Nova Scotia Consumer Price Index, all items from December to December. Historically, this is the rate that we've always started the process with and move forward each year. So again, I've made two tables here, and it would be applied to all salaries, hourly wages, and honorariums for the upcoming fiscal year. The first table shows fiscal years from the current, right back to 2020-2021, what the Nova Scotia all items CPI was December to December, then what council approved as the cost of living. It varies, as you can tell, it's not always the same. And again, this is just a starting point. Even if you guys direct staff at this point to use what the cost of living is for December to December, that does not mean it's going to be it until the final AGM and when you set that rate. So again, this is the baseline we use, just looking for direction where council would like to start the budget process at. So Warden, I hand it back to you now.
Great, thank you, Mary. So does anybody have any questions on that chart or whatever before we move along? So, I mean, and last year, I think we changed it 3 times during our.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
As we were going through our budgets and whatever. So it's not set in stone. So there's really no problem with starting at the 3.6 and working from there for.
That's why I also prepared the budget impact. Like, if you use the 3.6 versus the 3.5, because that was some of the feedback last year during the budget process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is nice to have a realistic
yes.
figure in there. Like last year, it was 7.6. You guys did not start at
no.
7.6.
No.
So just as that example.
Right. So what does what's council's consensus to for our starting point this year? Do we want to leave it at 3.6 and go from there and see how things go?
I'd say leave it at that starting point.
So I guess we need a recommendation to start the cost of living consideration at the 3.6%. No, we don't,
yeah,
need,
don't even,
don't need a recommendation. We can
no,
just say
we just
it's
need
not.
To
okay.
give staff direction.
Okay.
We will do a formal motion at the AGM.
Okay.
But at this point, it's so, just literally right. looking for some direction.
To start with our budget, then we'll leave at 3.6% for now.
Yeah. We'll hammer it out through the budget.
Yeah.
Yep.
Process. Okay. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Okay. That'll take us to 9E, rink fund options for the 2024 RecPex work. Yeah, sure.
So just to introduce the topic, so we apply annually for the rink fund offered through Cultural and Heritage provincially. And it gives us a wide range of options to apply for capital improvements or equipment to our RecPlex. It's all about supporting rinks for their community value, their health value. And this year we've looked carefully at a lot of different options on potential construction needs, repair needs to the building. And we also took a look at our Zamboni. And so what we've done is we've put together kind of a package for council that we vetted with the grant. They're all considered high quality applications, but it gives council the ability to look at what you think are priorities. And I guess I will just add, the Zamboni is a unique item. We've added it for the first time because in recent repairs, we've gotten feedback from the repair business that our machine is really probably at the end of its life. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to get parts for it. So we wanted council to know that and have an option that looks at creating some funding next year for the Zamboni.
So can I ask when we purchased that Zamboni we have there?
Certainly. So the Zamboni was purchased between 4 and 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
UPEI. So between 4 and 5 years ago, it was purchased. The one of the main issues that has wear and tear on the Zamboni is converting the curling rice. It is harder on it than a normal operation rink. So that's why there's been additional wear and tear on it. And it was substantially less what we purchased this last Zamboni for. As part of the new one, you would look at the Zamboni plus the attachment called leveler, which would help reduce the wear and tear on it and would help, because when you're shaving off those extra layers and lumps of ice from the curling, that's what's creating the issues. That's what's been communicated by the public works as well. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's a very good explanation. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Council or Deputy Warden Bowen.
Do any of the repairs, etc., in any of these options take into consideration the lack of accessibility entrance and restrooms and things like that that we don't have at the moment?
Yes, I can take that one as well. last year, it was applied for an accessibility grant for the RecPlex. We were successful in receiving a $92,000 grant to have all the doorways accessible at the rink. That work is scheduled to occur in this upcoming fiscal year, and it is a capital project that has been identified in your guys' capital plans as well. So yes, it is the entranceways and the automatic doors for the Reflex. Yes, washrooms are included in that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna push in the money here for section A, B, and C and not have it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see they have you have tended to budget it down there for $60,000 for the Zamboni, so I guess how old a machine is that?
That one there, I don't know, Doug, if you wanna take that component.
It would mean us,
oh, thanks, Mark.
It would mean us searching for, it would definitely be another used machine, but we may be able to get one much more modern, possibly electric, which is a little bit easier to care for and maintain than the propane one that we have. But for clarity, it would definitely mean another used machine. But we can find one that's younger and a lot fewer hours on it than what we currently have.
Okay, thank you. So electric, you're not selling me, but this propane's worked forever. It's cheap and inexpensive, and they're easy to fix. Batteries, 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 batteries.
Thank you, Warren. So I guess it's more a matter of setting a budget, and that we believe that if we do some work searching examination, we'll be able to find a much healthier Zamboni and one with a lot more life ahead of it than our current one. But yeah, options like that are things that we'll have to look into.
Great, thank you. So are you gonna explain the three options, or then we'll decide what we're gonna?
I can, if you'd like. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, certainly. So option A is the other half of the exterior siding replacement. So we completed half of it last year through this grant, as well as exterior lighting. So this half of the exterior has additional lighting on it that we have to take into consideration, as well as that window section that needs replacement. There's some rot there and leakage. So that's all in the second half. That really was the main focus when we separated this project the other year. So option A has all of those components plus new rubber flooring for the Reflex. If you need additional details on that, Tyler can help back us up on that. So it's all the rubber floor matting, insulation, it's for the walking track as well. The current flooring that's there is pieces together. So this new stuff will be continuous.
Well, it'll still be sheets, but it'll also include adhesive, so it'll be like glued to the floor essentially, and it's much better material, so it won't expand and contract based on the seasons.
Which is one of the issues we have with tripping right now and how in the summertime.
So what about at the other end? Are we still going to try to figure out a way to get around as opposed to walking back and forth?
Yeah, so with the installation of the new flooring, we can take the pieces that we currently have and extend the track to go all the way around. Like, we wouldn't need to, it wouldn't need to be as wide, and they wouldn't need to be like side by side, so that when they expand, they wouldn't like join together. But if we had one, like just one strip all the way around, or a couple strips all the way around,
we still have to access underneath that at the other end, because that's where one of our pipes burst last.
Yes, yeah, but
yes,
that's
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Nope. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, and it is that flooring and the insulation is expensive. So that's option A. Option B would be the other half of the exterior siding replacement, the exterior lighting, and that window replacement section that needs to be done, and the $60,000 Zamboni package. Option C, so I should say option one would cost the municipality, if we receive the 2/3 RFD grant, it would cost the municipality $60,000, which is what we had scheduled to have spent in the capital plans. Option B was, it would cost $64,000. Again, the other half of the exterior siding and the Zamboni. And finally, option C is everything inclusive. So the other half of the exterior siding, the lighting, the window replacement section, the flooring and the Zamboni, which that would cost the municipality just under $100,000, and maxing out the 2/3 grant, it maxes out $150,000 from RFD. Three options, three different scenarios.
Option C, we're not actually getting 2/3 though, are we really?
It wouldn't 100%, because it maxes, right?
Maxes out.
Yeah. I've worked on other ones in the meantime, so I'm trying to get mine.
Yeah. So what does council think? Councilor Mallon, go ahead.
I just wondering how many people use the walking track? Just a rough estimate, is it well used?
I honestly can't really speak to that. I don't know exactly. But this would make the walking track more accessible as well.
As
Gordon Weir mentioned, currently most of the time it's walking back and forth.
Yeah.
But we'd be able to use the flooring that we have now. We wouldn't necessarily need to just throw it away. We could use it because what we're looking at for rubber flooring wouldn't go all the way around. It would go partway down, and then we would just continue the walking track with the sections that we have currently.
So that would make. I know I've had seniors tell me they would like to walk, but they're very nervous of coyotes and wildlife in the winter, especially. Yeah.
Deputy Warden Fuller.
I see option A, basically it's a safety issue, because
mm-hmm.
if the floor is buckling and there are seniors using it, I don't think we should be setting ourselves up for an injury up there. As far as the Zamboni goes, didn't we just pay to get that fixed up? Could it last another year? That's, if I had to choose between a new machine and a safer floor, I'd go with the safer floor.
We're all three and see if the budget will not help.
All three is. Yeah.
We don't have to decide this tonight, right? This is just. Or wait, when is the grant due?
Yeah.
Okay.
February 14th?
So if you apply for it all, will you necessarily not get it all? Or, yes, how does that work?
It's in the past. We've been very successful in the past.
Okay.
Although option C, I don't think any of the ones we applied for have been this large. In saying that, Community, Cultures, and Heritage, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm saying which department.
Yes.
Have been very supportive. So, I mean, council always has that option before it goes out to tender as well. To see where you're at and what funding you receive prior to making that final commitment, right?
See what money you got.
And I just add that in previous years, this grant, the revitalization fund, has always been 1/3. This
mm-hmm.
is the first year that it's been 2/3, which may not continue in the future as well. So now would be a good time to try to capitalize on that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because even when we started this process, I'm like, no, it's 1/3. I was like, no, it's 2/3. But it did change. Yeah.
Is there the opportunity to sell the Zamboni we have, or would no one want
it? Presumably, it would have some kind of salvage value. Certainly, probably for parts, it's difficult to predict. It's difficult to predict that, but we would certainly do what we can to recover funding for it.
You do have the option, if I may, of option C, if you did apply for it all, and if you didn't, what Deputy Fuller said earlier about maybe the next year, then you try again for the grant for whatever component you didn't. Just an idea.
My only concern is, you know, $100,000 for the rink, and we've just been hit so hard with the lack of maintenance repairs in the past that, you know, I just can't swallow that kind of cash for, you know, because you know the pump's gonna, the pump house is gonna break next year, and that's another bunch of cash. And as important as a rink is, I just can't go with that number personally.
So if you apply for C for all three, if they say no, you don't get anything?
No, you just get a portion of it in a bid. Like they wouldn't just flat, generally you don't get a flat out no. If you apply for say 100,000, they might say you're getting 60,000. I don't know if they would say it has to be these certain components or just here's 60 towards the project, you fund the other.
So is there any way that a person can find it perhaps first how much we have on hand and then make a decision? Nice to know if we're going to get
I suppose
the money.
Has to be in soon, does it?
Well, you would put it in, and then before you actually tender the work, you would get approval for whatever, because you can't start the work before you get approval anyway.
No.
Right? So you could do it that way. Then you would know you're receiving 100,000, you're receiving 50,000,
exactly.
And then you would decide your priorities from there.
It'd be nice to know what you have before you say we're going to spend $100,000 on the ring.
So,
I get it, that's great.
Have we had more than one opinion on the Zamboni, or have we just gone by the last one and fixed it? Our Public Works has only been able to find one supplier that supports it, and of course their worry is if it breaks down and takes a long time to get parts for, could we have a big gap in our programming? However, to give you more business options, if you were surprised at some point by a serious breakdown of the Zamboni and an unlikelihood of repairing it, you could always approve a separate budget at that point in time. We could also borrow money to finance and pay for it over several years if it surprised you in the middle of a fiscal year. So there are different ways to deal with that. And in recent meetings, we've talked about the fact that we've received a grant to do renovations at the Recplex to make it an emergency shelter. So would council just like a reminder of the details of that? It does not conflict or duplicate any of this, but it gives us the ability to add a generator, upgrade the kitchen, and we had originally hoped to build more showers. We did not get enough funding, but we probably can replace the hot water tank with an on-demand, which is also an extremely practical thing if you're going to try and use the shower facilities or the kitchen facilities to a greater extent, because otherwise the simple hot water tank in there is going to run out pretty quickly. They're unrelated to this, they don't conflict with this, but I thought it was worth reminding that is something that we have received the funding for. And you'll start to see bids and tenders for different pieces of that for you to approve.
Just to clarify, if we did go with option C and didn't receive all the funding, we're not locked into fulfilling all of those,
could we go
back to A or back to B? And
that would be my understanding. We could get clarification 100% on that. So if you guys wanted to do your first, second, third priority, that may help. And then we could get clarification, just send that out as well. Because you still would have to sign the approval letters at the end of it.
Try to vote 1, 2, and 3, or do we just want to pick one? I mean, I guess with any luck at all, we could
limp our Zamboni in along another year, hopefully, and at the end of the day, if things go sideways, we do have the option of boring to doing it. So I guess in that instance, I would say A is our best option to go for. Mm-hmm. Consensus?
Yeah,
yes.
I agree. Yeah.
Because that gives, I think the flooring is a big thing to get the water turned on, I think that's very important, so I do think that's, it'll give Tyler something to do and get him a walking room started. So everybody's saying that we'll apply for option A? Okay, so staff will put that in for us, please. Do we need a recommendation for that?
Yeah, this one on the next page.
Yeah, okay. So we need a recommendation that council would like staff to proceed with. We're on one, and how do we make this simple?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, recommendation will be dependent on the option A chosen by council, no additional components are added to the grant. There are no further recommendations required. So I need a recommendation that we will, that we want staff to apply for option A for the, what's it called, recreation facility development grant. Motion by Deputy Warden Fuller, second by Counselor Zink, that we will choose option A, get staff to put in for option A for the recreation facility development grant. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Recommendation is approved. All right, perfect. All right, 9F. Broad River Algae Awareness Day.
So, Fibromyalgia Awareness Day is gonna be on May 12th. It's the 32nd anniversary of Fibromyalgia Awareness Day. It's recognized by the World Health Organization, otherwise known as WHO. The email asked if the municipality would be able to illuminate certain buildings, kind of like the 2-1-1 day. We picked the municipal office and the library, again, same two buildings. To raise awareness about fibromyalgia, it's a small gesture that the municipality can do to show support and awareness. Purple is the color of fibromyalgia, and it's recognized by. So we purchased lights that are sitting right there on the table. They change color for any different cancers and illnesses and awarenesses that people should be aware of. And I just wanted to see if everybody here is in support of lighting up the municipal office and the library, May 12th, and leading up to May 12th.
Great, thank you, Jitsi. I know we did last year.
We did.
I think it's a great cause, and
yeah.
We already have the lights.
Yes.
I need a recommendation that municipal council supports eliminating the municipal office in Sherbrooke Library in purple from dusk on May 12th until dawn on May 13th in support of Fibromyalgia Awareness Day.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Motion by Councilor Malloy, second by Councilor Harple. The municipal council supports eliminating the municipal office in Sherbrooke Library in purple from dusk on May 12th until dawn on May 13th in support of Fibromyalgia Awareness Day. Any further discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. And that will take us to our addition, which was the Vulnerable Persons Registry. Councilor Mammon, do you want to speak on that, please?
Sure. So I had a message from a resident in light of a recent snowstorm, just wondering what we as a municipality were doing or planning on doing to assist vulnerable people who were snowed in and couldn't get out with health concerns. And I'd heard some concerns from the Maple Manor as well, that it took a while to get shoveled out, which is understandable with the snow. So I've heard the idea of a vulnerable persons registry, different conferences we've been to, and I just wanted to put that out there to see what we could do to help our residents feel supported and safe during these kind of weather events.
Thank you, Councilor Mammon. Deputy Warden Fuller.
Uh, I can speak that the NSFM has made this one of their lobbying priorities to have the province make a voluntary vulnerable persons registry and have it centrally located. So if somebody lived here and moved to New Glasgow, the information would move with them. There's been great reluctance on the province's part to take this under their wing. So we've been searching for different ways to do it. Kings County made their own. It's an Excel worksheet. There's several other areas. I know in St. Andrews, the fire department has a book, page by page, street by street, of who's there. Keeping it up is the most difficult action. One of the things I was going to suggest in our next fire department meeting is each one of the members take a street or two and just find out, you know, who lives where and, you know, will they need this kind of help? Because when was the last time it snowed like this? What, 20 years ago? White Lawn? You can't keep up with everything, but at least if you know where somebody who will need oxygen or, you know, will need something and emergency people can get to them, they can at least be aware of it. I think it's something that, you know, we're going to have to suggest to our local community centers and fire departments. We have to take it on ourselves. But it still has to be voluntary. We can't make people tell us, you know, things. That's the way I'm looking at it going, at least on my end. But the province doesn't seem to have an appetite for it.
We have a list with our community center. We have our EMO book, and we have a list of everyone in our community and who has even generators or needs help or anything. We have that list at our community center. I think that has its own.
I don't know if we could do something like what we did to let people know about the sewer, you know, or the water. So, you know, if it was in the newsletter that we're starting a voluntary list, if you'd like to submit your information to be checked on, the wellness call, or, you know, just so that, or, you know, if someone needs food, I'd be more than happy to bring them some grocery or whatever that I could share, if I could get to them, you know. That was just one thought I had.
Is there some way we could use point work in conjunction with that?
Oh, that's a shame.
I take it that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, and I think even just a call to say, are you okay? Do you need anything? Do you need to get to a generator? Like, set up a warm place. I know there's been concerns as well that we don't have an emergency, shelter, but we're working on that, right? So,
we have our comfort center at our community center, but in this storm and with the power outage, it wasn't any good to anybody because nobody was allowed on, couldn't get on the roads.
Probably wasn't plowed out to be
and it wasn't,
anybody.
And I mean, they were telling people to stay off the road. So if they're telling you to stay off the road, we can't expect people to come to the community center.
And just for this one, because the snow was so heavy, even pickup trucks or plows couldn't get through.
Can't do it.
They didn't dig out our community center until today or even late yesterday.
By last night, 7 o'clock, it still wasn't done.
Today, then.
Ours is plowed out now.
Even during like prolonged power outages or storms like the hurricanes, that would be beneficial for those who can't get into anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend whose father is incapacitated, and so they had to shovel, just in case there was an emergency, at least shovel a route to the road that hadn't been plowed yet, in case somebody had to go. Yeah. I think we're going to have to really start looking at, you know, what our local community resources are in our area and who's got what. Okay? And I said one person needed a bulldozer to get to his bar because the plow wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Not wouldn't do it.
I know what the province is making on. It's a big responsibility. If you miss somebody, just one person, that's worse than calling everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that is. Yeah, well, I
And even our
Don't know if there's any real good answers. I mean, help as much as we can, but to say that you're gonna take that on, you're gonna take that responsibility on.
But even a lot of people now, you can't really call them, like before you could look up the number. Now, we don't even know who's in our community anymore. There's so many people, moved in, and they have cell phones.
And if the power's out, fire drops off.
And if the power's out, you can't call them, can't get in touch with anybody. So it's kind of it's a bad situation, but you just do what you can do.
I don't think it would hurt to, as municipality, lobby the provincial government to try to do something for a vulnerable persons registry. I mean, if every municipality did that, it may help.
It may help.
I could send you several letters from other municipalities to use as a template.
Okay, perfect. So I think that's where the best start for us is to do that.
I appreciate it.
Every workforce is going to give us a template, so we'll
just wait out whoever's name it was. Right,
we get a letter into that effect to the province. I think we get staff to do that.
Yes,
I think that would be a great idea. All right.
I was just going to say too. I think as we continue to make changes to the RecPlex for that purpose, if we just keep the public informed as to what we're in the process of doing, it might help ease some of those concerns moving forward, that we are working on it.
And remember, there's a difference between a shelter and a comfort center.
Yes, yes.
There is, definitely.
And the shelter is quite a few steps above.
Yes.
Comfort center.
Yeah.
All right, anything else on that? Will take us to number 10, an in-camera for legal. So could I have a motion to go in-camera, please?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Councilor Malloy, second by Councilor Zink, that we go in-camera at 4:52 for legal matters. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? In-camera. Motion by Deputy Warden Fuller, second by Councilor Zink, that we return to regular session at 5:20 p.m. And with nothing else left on the agenda, I would like a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilor Harville, second by Councilor Mammon, that the meeting be adjourned. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned.